Welcome to Maryland Perspectives with Amelia on 98 Rock.
The opioid epidemic in the U.S. has ravaged every walk of life over the last decade. While there's a lot of evidence of why this is happening and new mandates on opioid prescriptions, one company has come up with a novel solution as a deterrent to keep patients from abusing their pain medications when they are prescribed by a doctor. It is called TimerCap, and joining me this morning is the CEO of the company that manufactures this device, Larry Tworsky. Good morning. Welcome to Maryland Perspectives, Larry.
Good morning. What questions can I answer for you about this?
So, Larry, in your experience, tell us what an opioid actually is and how it is being abused.
So an opioid is really a pain medication. Imagine morphine and then times it by 20. That's what the current level of some of the opioids are now. Opioids are really just basically like the oxycodone, the Vicodin, hydrocodone. It's a pain medication that's highly, highly addictive. Now, some of the challenges are is that it comes in the same kind of package. We package every other medication. And what that means is that, you know, if you don't know what an opioid is, most people don't, because we don't signify, hey, this is a drug that you might get addicted to. While it comes in child-resistant packaging, child-resistant packaging was created in 1970. Okay, that's 47 years ago. Would you want to drive a car from 47 years ago? Well, actually, I probably would, but that's I had the Buick. I had a Buick Motel Speedster, but just so you know, in 70, I couldn't drive yet. I had to wait 9 more years before I could drive. But it was. It's important that, you know, we treat the packaging of opioids differently than every other med, or we're never going to see. That this was different. The term's called compliance packaging.
Okay.
Compliance packaging helps people take their medication more as prescribed. It worked in birth control where women were getting pregnant, even though they were taking the pills. They started to put them in those 1 to 31 day packets.
Sure.
So that people knew when to start them, when to stop. And that's called compliance packaging. They did the same with erythromycin and the antibiotics. Now people get the Z-Pack.
Right.
You know, and the pharmacist says, hey, you know, you need to finish all your prescription. And we don't do that with opioids. And so one of the items we've been talking about is opioids come into what they call a class 2 or, you know, highly scrutinized medication. And those need to be delivered in a different way in more compliance packaging. One of the solutions we're talking about is our timer cap, because all the things that could happen to you when you're on opioids. And we can talk a little bit more about that if you're interested.
Well, I tell you, Larry, I've read up a little bit on this, and I know that when opioids were first introduced, they were supposed to be this wonder drug that you wouldn't get addicted to. Do you think that that's might be one of the reasons why there is no compliance packaging with opioids these days?
Well, I think that it was overprescribed. You know, doctors want to keep people out of pain, and they're looking for, you know, better star ratings for themselves. But and so that means patients have to not be in pain. And so I think the doctors were overprescribing it and under-scrutinizing it. It's a medication that makes you feel better. But the challenge is taking your first opioid is easy. The second one, you're already impaired, which people wonder why they double dosed. And it's because, let's face it, you've got a cap on top of your medication that doesn't tell you, hey, you're about to take a second dose, right? So if you're cognitively impaired, it's really tough to take that second dose. It's why we see in Colorado, there was a doubling of DUI fatalities when they legalized cannabis, because cannabis and opioids have a lot of the same properties. It's hard to remember when the medication you're taking is something that makes you forget.
Yeah, so, it's thinking they call,
right?
It with alcohol, right, yeah.
Right, and so how do they get back on the road? When do they take their next dose? If we don't upgrade the packaging to more compliant packaging that has a timer in it, we're never going to really affect the opioid epidemic. Now, what we always talk about is prescribe less and dispense more responsibly, meaning a lot of doctors need to prescribe less meds. Nobody for a toothache probably needs 30 days of Vicodin or hydrocodone,
right.
You know, when it's probably 6 to 7 days or more will fix the problem. I mean,
well, we're starting to see some of that. we're starting to see doctors being held accountable for deaths. You know, definitely the high profile cases. Michael Jackson comes to mind. There was a guitarist for Three Doors Down, guitarist or bassist, and they went after his doctor as well because he had overdosed on prescription medications.
Yeah, but that prescription medication was I think, like, you know, Michael Jackson was
that was
made
fentanyl, yeah.
Or A, was made for surgery, and right. Two, I think he was made to tranquilize an elephant.
Right.
Okay?
Well, and you don't want to...
That's why we say prescribe less
right.
And prescribe more responsible.
And also the patient has to take responsibility in that as well, and that's where the timer cap comes in, yes?
Yeah, and, well, one of the things, we have to give the patients the tools so that they don't, you know, the right tools. We didn't say, hey, you know, women, why are you getting pregnant because you didn't take your birth control correctly?
Right.
We fixed it. We didn't say, hey, guys, why are you getting reinfected? We've got an epidemic of reinfections. No, we fixed it.
Right.
We haven't fixed how opioids are packaged because there's no way that people understand, hey, be aware of opioids. But just like you asked, what are they? So unless we package it differently and the pharmacist says, hey, by the way, you know, this is different, we're never going to see a change. You know, when opioids are in the house, we talk about the principles that people need to do. Number one, you should always measure the time since your last dosage because we never want anybody to double dose or overdose on a pain medication. You know, with a current cap, you know, it has a push down and turn, and now you're guessing the last time you took it, or you have to use external means. And then two, you have to monitor when it's safe to drive again, both in time and how you feel. Way too many people are getting DUIs and traffic fatalities
sure.
due to being on these pain meds. You know, not only does it slow down the pain, it slows down people's reactions and their ability to cognitively think. And then three, you have to manage your medications in the bottles they were dispensed in. Labeling and safety needs to be with the medication to manage it. And if you have opioids in the house, you need to have a way to detect unwanted openings and if there is a possible diversion in the household. The child-resistant packaging was created, again, in 1970
right.
for children under 5, but it doesn't cover the 6 to 26 that were worried about taking other people's meds.
Right.
Now, the timer cap is that tool that does all those things, and it measures the last time it's been opened because it has an automatic stopwatch that counts up since the last time you've opened it. So if you want to take your medication every 2 hours, you could see it. And I got to tell you, I had a surgery in December, and I fell asleep after taking a pain med and woke up. I was about to take another one because it was dark. It turned out it was only 21 minutes because I saw it on my timer cap.
Right.
And I said, wow, it hadn't kicked in yet. So I went back to sleep. Had I had the regular way, I could have just easily double dosed. And now I'm on that slippery slope of trying to get out of it, right? Because now I'm really impaired. And what we really want people to do is to go every few hours when they take their meds and then start to easily back off. Take it every 3, then every 6, then right. every 12 so that we solve the pain and then solve that they're not addicted. And so the timer cap helps with that. We have it in all the different styles. By the way, we're at every CVS and Rite Aid. So we're not talking anything new. You can go to the CVS and Rite Aid and they sell a 3-pack for, I think, about $10. So it's about $3 for 12 months of protection. It works great on, you know, chronic meds. It's in any meds. I got to tell you, I go through the did I or didn't I take it right? And people underdose or double dose all the time. And when 50% of the population doesn't take their meds as prescribed, we have to look at how we're dispensing
yep.
as a way to kind of fix it. And it's a detection tool because it restarts every time and it's tamper proof.
I love
it. You can see if somebody's gotten into your meds.
Right.
You know, which is one of the big things. So if a family member comes in, your timer restarts, boom, you know how to do it. And because it has a timer on it, it's a deterrent for most people to go. It's kind of like the warning signs or, you know, a dog in your yard or a patrol
yeah.
because you're now monitoring your medication as prescribed. And not only that, we have a new connected one called the iCap that will update somebody anywhere in the world if your medication was opened.
That was my next question, yeah.
Yeah, we have that. We have a new pill box. I mean, you know, going back to managing medications and the bottles they're dispensed in, you know, I always talk about people putting stuff in those 7-day pill cassettes.
Right.
And they're not safe. Why we even let pharmacies sell those? We have all these labeling and safety laws across the country, and they're so fastidious about putting that label together only to be thwarted by that front-end apothecary section.
Sure.
You know, if those pill boxes can't meet or exceed our labeling and safety information,
right,
we're really doing a disjustice, because in an emergency, if you talk to an EMT, if you've got all these nondescript pills in a cassette and your bottles are somewhere else of what they are, you know, when seconds matter, that's tough for people.
And the simplicity of it too. I mean, cause it sounds like, wow, you're going to do all of this. And then when you go online and you actually look at it, it looks like a regular prescription bottle cap. It's got a little timer inside of it. And then just you turn it on and you turn it off by getting your medication out. And I think of different cancer patients, you know, that have to take 3 or 4 different or 10 different pills, or even with mental illness, you know, when you have to take a couple different things, that you can actually put it on each one of those prescription bottles and know exactly where you stand. So this is just amazing. Was this your idea, Larry, or did you come up with it on the drawing board?
My mom was addicted to pain medication her entire life. I remember at 9 years old having to give her Demerol shots in her tush. First of all, no son should see mother's tush as often as I had to. But we'll leave that for another
Interview. Yeah, we'll talk in another year or so.
When I get off the couch from that.
You're right.
This is a duh product, meaning I always like the fact is, how simple can you make it? This is a stopwatch on top of a medicine cap. The caps last for over a year. My wife and I invested in it when we first saw it. It was somebody at my college that had it, who I've known for years. We started out with them, and it wasn't going the way we wanted it. So we kind of put in some more investment, made the connected products, and got into all the CVS and Rite Aids. And so whenever we invest in businesses, my wife and I, we have three principles. It's A, do something good for society. B, have fun. 3, make money, in that order. We've been blessed enough to do this. This is about making a change in compliance packaging for all opioids. 1, to signal there's a difference so that people don't get it in the generic way. And 2, we want to bring a tool that people don't inadvertently double dose or overdose. I've seen what can happen to families when they're trying to manage people who are addicted. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see other families have to go through what I went through. That's why we're doing it, really trying to bring the awareness of this case that we do need better packaging. 47-year-old packaging is not cutting it. We have an epidemic.
Yep.
And we have some easy fixes to help with it. It's not going to help the people who are already addicted. They're going to find ways to take whatever they want.
Right.
But we can curb, you know, all the new people going on opioids. How to get them on so they can monitor how to get on, and they can monitor how to get off. And so, like we say, dispense less, but dispense more responsibly. People should only manage medications in the bottles they're dispensed in.
Sure.
Or we are going to keep finding more and more problems with misdosing.
Larry, thank you so much for your time today. Where can people go to find out more about the Timer Cap?
Well, as I said, they're available at every CVS and Rite Aid. They can go to timercap.com. And they could also look at our new connected product, which is the iCap.
I like the idea of keeping people from actually getting addicted. And even for absent-minded people like me, just to take my regular meds, this is just a great, great thing. And once again, thank you so much. I'm going to put all those links up at 98online.com. And Larry, once again, have a great, great day. And thanks for talking to Maryland Perspectives.
Excellent. Thank you.
Maryland Perspectives will continue in a moment on Nutty at Rock.
The Red Devils is a Maryland-based organization that works with local hospitals to provide support for women and their families while they undergo chemotherapy treatment for breast cancer. Since 2002, they've raised over $3 million and supported 5,500 breast cancer families right here in Maryland through donations. Please join the Red Devils at various events throughout the year, including the 6th Annual Chili Cook-Off at the Hard Yacht Cafe in Dundalk, March 4th. Enter your chili, be a judge, or just hang out and enjoy the food and entertainment as you help the Red Devils continue its mission. For more, head to theRedDevils.org/events. St. Baldrick's Foundation was born of a 1999 challenge from a businessman to his peers to give back in return for their good fortunes. Since then, the foundation has raised millions of dollars to help fight children's cancers through research with the Children's Oncology Group. Fundraisers are organized on a grassroots level by first responders across the country. Join Looney's Pub in Bel Air March 4th for the 6th annual Here for the Little Guys St. Baldrick's fundraiser from 1 to 5 p.m. Plenty of entertainment for every age. Help fight children's cancer through research. For more info, go to stbaldricks.org/events.
Hey, Baltimore, Mike Rowe here from Dirty Jobs with a quick word about Baltimore's best-kept secret, Project Jumpstart. Project Jumpstart's a training program for city residents who want to learn a skill in the construction trades. It's a pre-apprenticeship program with a job placement rate unlike anything else in the country, over 75%. It's remarkable. Last year, my foundation got involved with Project Jumpstart. I got a chance to meet with several of the graduates and the people behind this program. They were amazing. We threw a party. We raised some money, and it worked so well, we're doing it again this year. February 25th at the Renaissance Harbor Place Hotel. We've got great local chefs and whiskey tastings and all kinds of stuff you'd expect to find at a fancy schmancy gala. Anyway, the more money we raise, the more city residents get trained and hired for good jobs that actually exist. And that's good news for everybody. February 25th, 6 p.m. at the Renaissance Harbor Place Hotel. More details at projectjumpstarttraining.org/gala. Hope to see you there.
Great food for an even greater cause. Join Catholic Charities this March 4th at the B&O Railroad Museum for the 26th annual A Taste of Maryland event. Enjoy delicious foods of the region with the best local chefs, live and silent auctions, raffles, and a DJ. A Taste of Maryland benefits our Daily Bread Employment Center, helping people in need with a daily hot meal, case management, and job training. For tickets, visit cc-md.org/tasteofmd.
Welcome back to Maryland Perspectives on 98 Rock. Here again is Amelia.
February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, and the horrific murder of Yardley Love, a University of Virginia lacrosse player in 2010, left a family devastated and a community wondering what could have possibly have went wrong in a promising young life. It was a call to action for many people, including Bridget Marshall, Community Development Coordinator for the One Love Foundation. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning.
And if you could, tell us about Yardley Love and how the One Love Foundation was formed from this tragedy.
Thank you so much for having us on this morning. We're excited to be connected. So the One Love Foundation was created in 2010 after, like you said, the tragic death of Yardley Love. Yardley was a 22-year-old college senior at the University of Virginia, getting ready to take the next steps, like many people were, including myself at that time, graduate college and move on to the next phase. And unfortunately, her life was taken on the morning of May 3rd. Shortly after the death, her sister and her mother and close family and friends were taking the time to form the foundation to remember her and remember the things that she loved most, lacrosse and community and just staying connected to Baltimore and other places. But as details started to emerge during the trial, they realized that there was something a lot more serious going on that many of them didn't know about. And that was Yardley was in an abusive relationship for a long time. Now, there's two parts to it that really came to the surface and kind of struck them with an issue. They felt that there were a lot of things that they did see and hear but didn't know what to do about it, and that this problem was a lot bigger than just going on in Yardley's life. And so with those two things coming together, they really took a look at how they wanted this foundation to be taken into the world. And that's where, after a year or two, they decided that they would move from just a remembrance foundation to taking on the epidemic of relationship violence and really speaking to healthy versus unhealthy relationships.
And so the mission of One Love then is to get the word out, yeah, to look for the signs of violence in a relationship, especially if one of the members in that relationship isn't speaking up or even realizes it.
Yes, absolutely. It's to look at the people that are involved in the relationship, as well as the bystanders who may have a gut feeling that something's wrong and not know how to talk about it or what to do with it, because that is a huge issue in this situation as well.
Yeah, fear just, it makes you do really dumb things. And when you're in a relationship with somebody that you have these tremendous feelings for, and maybe it might even be your first one, because I know part of your mission is also to target young people, because Yardley's story isn't unique, obviously. I was looking at some of the statistics that you have on your website,
yeah,
and it's really mind-boggling. I remember my first relationship and my boyfriend, you know, not letting me talk to other guys at all, very possessive, is a horrible red flag for anybody. Now I know. I didn't know at 16.
Exactly. And that's a lot of what we found. The mere fact that 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men will be in an abusive relationship in their lifetime. And the most vulnerable age is 16 and 18 to 24. And it's so young, and the education is just needed to make sure people are armed with the ability to make healthy decisions.
So are you offering workshops? How do you get out into the community to get the word out? And how are you giving these people that do reach out to you that are in these awful relationships, or a friend of a person who's in an awful relationship, how do you help them get the help that they need?
So over the last almost, it'll be 7 years in May, a lot of different educational campaigns have come forward through the organization. And one of the biggest ones and most successful we've seen started in 2014, and it's called the Escalation Workshop. And what the Escalation Workshop entails is a 40-minute movie that is based on a fictional storyline of a college-age couple, and it shows you the length of their relationship from the beginning to unfortunate tragic end. And after the audience is able to view the escalation film, they take part in a discussion section, and it's all completely peer-led, and it's a peer discussion following 17 questions, just reviewing the film and how they feel about it and what they took away from it. And one of the unique parts of this is we do not just send the film to anyone that requests it. We require that people go through a specific training that we offer multiple times a week with One Love Foundation employees so that they truly get an understanding of why we're doing this and what is needed to take it on to their particular group.
So if a teacher is driving around right now and hearing this, they work in a junior high or a high school, they could reach out to your foundation, show up at a workshop, and then maybe take it back to their classroom?
Yes, absolutely. They can just take a visit to joinonelove.org, and all of the instructions are there on who to contact. And once they put in an initial request, they will be followed up with by our team and get connected to the correct regional coordinator for their area.
Well, that's fantastic. So I also saw that you are using social pages to raise awareness, but you are doing a hashtag on Twitter, hashtag That's Not Love. How can Twitter users get involved?
The hashtag That's Love and hashtag That's Not Love came about when we were really looking at how we can be more involved in the social area and make it easy and user-friendly. And so any one of our social network platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, followers can follow those hashtags and be connected to our different websites and videos and campaigns to really get an idea of real-life situations of healthy and unhealthy behaviors.
I know it takes a lot of money. So you have a big event coming up called Lip Sync for Love. And that's happening in Baltimore on February 25th. And this is a great way for people that are listening to this now and going, I want to get involved, and also to donate, yes?
Absolutely. This is the first annual event, and we could not be more excited to have it here in Baltimore, you know, on the ground of where everything started. And the idea behind the event was just to be a fun, laid-back fundraiser in Baltimore. I know the trend these days are all of the lip sync shows and battles and everything that comes along with it. And it's so much fun to see, you know, the celebrities going against each other and different personalities coming together. The event is going to be on February 25th at Price Modern in Remington, which is this great spot, and they actually host a lot of events for nonprofits. And the outline of the night is, you know, a cocktail hour with a full open bar and hors d'oeuvres, different raffle options, and then a couple of surprise guests, along with three or four, it might be up to five, different lip sync battles. We have a great list of celebrities that have committed to the event, both local and a couple that are not from the Baltimore area.
Okay.
And it'll just be a really fun night. There is a website connected, and that's splashthat.com/lip sync. And people can take a visit there and sign up and buy tickets and also look at sponsorship options. So we're just really excited for the event.
Well, I tell you what, Bridget, I will make sure that all of these links are up on my blog at 98online.com. That'll include the joinonelove.org website. I'll also link to your Twitter pages and your Facebook and the splashthat.com so people can go to this. It sounds like it's a fabulous, fun event. And for the first annual.
It is going to be. We're excited.
Yeah. Well, and you're right, because the whole game playing with Jimmy Fallon, you know, and then you got Ellen
and
doing
James
all kinds
Corden
of.
With
all
the
of
carpool
them.
Karaoke. Yeah, there are a lot of people doing it these days. It's fun.
Continued success with the organization, Bridget, and it's really a very important thing that you're doing, and I thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, and we are just thrilled to be, you know, on the ground here in Baltimore where everything started, and if anyone has any questions or would like to know more about the organization, please visit our website and connect with us. We love hearing from you, and thank you so much for having us this morning.
You've been listening to Maryland Perspectives, a community information resource. If your organization would like to be on Maryland Perspectives, please contact Amelia at 410-338-6458 or email ameliawiyy@hearst.com. You can find the links to her guests on her blog at 98online.com. The opinions expressed on this program are those of its participants and not necessarily those of 98 Rock, its management, or advertisers.